Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Israel retaliates. I'm Sherry Preston. Israel striking back against Iran. A senior U.S. official telling ABC News that Israel launched retaliatory strikes inside Iran overnight, nearly a week after Iran launched more than 300 missiles and drones against Israel. Iran said it considered the matter settled, but warned that it won't hesitate to respond further if there is another offensive. In Tel Aviv, here's ABC's Matt Gutman.
Iran very quickly went from there was some sort of explosion in and around Isfahan to saying, hey, everything's okay. There were no casualties. There's no damage. It's business as usual. They're not even accusing Israel of this attack. They're saying it was from some inside infiltrators in Iran. Israel has said absolutely nothing. And I was texting with the Israeli military at 4 a.m. local. Everybody was awake. Nobody was writing us back.
Isfahan, a central Iranian city home to a military base and a nuclear facility. No reported damage. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More remains found yesterday are thought to belong to a young woman killed in Milwaukee. The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department says they were found along the shore of Lake Michigan in South Milwaukee. Maxwell Anderson is charged with Chardae Robinson's death. Renewable energy projects are getting a boost with tax credits under the Inflation Reduction Act and the bipartisan infrastructure law. Dane County Executive Joe Parisi says there are more opportunities now than ever.
Everybody, a business, a nonprofit, a church, a temple, even a government and a local government gets 30% back on renewable energy projects.
The tax credits could help since polling shows Americans are cautious about making big investments because of inflation. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Northland College officials have again postponed their self-imposed deadline on deciding whether the school will remain open. Heading into their Thursday deadline, college officials received a new plan that had been approved by the faculty council to restructure the school's academic programs and eliminate some in an effort to address their budget issues. The school intended to raise $12 million by this week to stay open, but fell well short and will now consider this proposal and make a final decision on Tuesday. A well-traveled road in Superior will be out of commission for much of the summer months. The city of Superior has announced they will spend an extra $1 million of COVID-era relief funding on street maintenance this year, including a major repair project on Tower Avenue. The city is using a patching technique on the street that will be a more involved project than just filling potholes, but will also last longer once it's complete. Mayor Jim Payne says Tower Avenue is also due for a full reconstruction around 2028. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers in St. Louis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open up a three-game series against the Cardinals in St. Louis. Manager Pat Murphy is short on healthy pitchers, but likes what he saw from right-hander Bryce Wilson on Wednesday.
Bryce gave us what we needed. I mean, Bryce was sensational. And we sat in the office and talked about this day coming, and Bryce was just, he was spot on. To give us that start out of the gate.
NFL, the draft less than a week away. The Packers signing a veteran offensive tackle, 6'5" Andre Dillard, a first-round pick for the Eagles in 2019. Last year, he had 10 starts with Tennessee. College basketball, Badgers guard Chucky Hepburn entering the transfer portal just a day after A.J. Storr left Wisconsin for Kansas. The Bucks play the Pacers Sunday night in game one of their best-of-seven playoff series. Tip-off time, 6 o'clock. I talked to Chris Middleton after practice.
It was great. Got after it. Working ourselves today with a little bit of Indiana, but I thought it was great. Great day of trying to figure out how to execute better and just be a better team overall.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A few flurries or light snow showers today. Otherwise, highs around 40 degrees and west winds gusting 20 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, breezy, a low in the mid-20s, partly sunny and highs near 45 on your Saturday. For Sunday, sunshine and highs back to the upper 50s.
Currently 33 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Who do you want making the decisions for your daughters if you're a girl dad? I have two girls, 14 and 12, and I still consider myself pro-life. But here's the thing. I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what to do and being intrusive in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I want a bunch of theocrats getting in the middle of my daughter's life.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Busted pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day to day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through AI detectors. There's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Busted pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome Brady Ewing, former Badger and NFL star, Phil Nee on National Record Store Day, and Tim Gerson, LA film critic.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Calvin Butenhoff. We are joining you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very busy show today. Next hour, David Drake, wildlife specialist with the UW Extension. We're going to talk elk.
And probably Jane's top three guests.
He's so much fun to talk to.
I know, he's great.
And he's so knowledgeable.
But he holds a special place in your heart.
Well, we first connected over birds.
And you all know, if you don't know, folks, y'all don't know Jane if you don't know her love for birds.
Yeah. Winged things.
Winged thingies.
Winged thingies. And then we're doing a little switch around today with Dan Schaefer. We rescheduled Dan. He will be here next hour at 11:33 so we can recombobulate. And I know he's going to want to talk. His recent column on the recombobulation area is all about the Marquette University Law School poll that came out yesterday. So we will be talking about all things polls coming up at 11:33. Wanted to start off, though, with California guy, Eric Hovde. Now he says the whole thing about the nursing home and nursing home residents.
Yes.
And being too close to death to be able to vote.
4 to 5 months to be exact.
Yeah, I think, I believe, Calvin, we have that clip of Mr. Hovde. Let's take a listen just as a reminder.
I'm not going to spend my time talking about 2020. Do I believe the election was stolen? No, but did things happen in that election that were very troublesome? Absolutely. And I can point them out right here in Wisconsin. We had Zuckerbucks come into Democratic cities in a big way
not
to
just
push
Democratic
out
cities.
Working
no.
with cities to push out Democratic votes.
No,
we had nursing homes where the sheriff of Racine investigated where you had 100% voting in nursing homes. Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
Okay, so in a new video that California lake sitting axe throwing Eric Hovde posted on what used to be Twitter, he complained news outlets are mischaracterizing his statements about voting in nursing homes, implying he's saying senior citizens shouldn't be allowed to vote. In reality, Hovde says he was just casting doubt that all the senior citizens who voted in 2020 actually did so. So I will agree with him. He did not say nursing home residents shouldn't vote.
Correct.
That's not what he said.
Yep.
He did, however, imply that they're pretty close to death, and so I don't know if they're all there enough. At least that's what I took away from that clip.
To me, it sounds like 100%. How can that be? They're 5 to 6 months away from death. How could they be voting at all? Well, if you are of sound mind, you can vote 1 minute before you die, and it's still counted. It doesn't matter, Mr. Hovde.
Quote, last week in some news articles, they were written that I don't believe elderly should be able to vote. How did that come about? Because I absolutely believe the elderly should vote. Hovde says this is purely election integrity issues, which again went to court. There were recounts. There were court cases all across the country. There is no evidence of overwhelming voter fraud. There just isn't.
And it's been cited over and over. At least, I mean, nationwide, we have plenty of records showing that the election was sound.
Yes.
And safe and not cause for alarm. And in Wisconsin, over and over again, it's been proven and even stated by our assembly speaker, Mr. Robin Voss. So once again, this is Eric Hovde. And I'm going to throw Van Wongard into this, too, because he did the same thing in an interview about a week and a half ago where he said, we don't need to talk about 2020. 2020 is over. Let's move on. But
yeah, it's always the but.
If we're going to talk about 2020 for a moment, I can talk about 2020.
And again, keep those doubts alive. Keep those that false claim that there were problems in the 2020 election. They got to keep that alive, because if they don't like the results after on November 6th, this is exactly what they're going to come back to.
Exactly.
Karina from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Karina. How you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning. I've been hearing about that Hoffrey Schmoffrey guy. So, first of all, he makes money on those poor people. Secondary, he doesn't even know who lives in his properties, because he was saying that I have a real estate in the nursing home. He doesn't even know the difference between nursing home and hospice. And how's that we're gonna cut off the wisest, most experienced a population out of our society? What is wrong? Why are you scared of old people?
It's you're right, Karina, and it's not, they're not only scared of old people, they're really scared of young people.
Absolutely, you're right. But you know, it's just such a misinformation that you're telling somebody that in the nursing home people live for 3 months. No, it's a hospice. Please get your terminology straight.
try reading something. Thank you, Karina. Thank you so much.
But once again, even if you were in hospice, as someone who knows people who've been in hospice, your vote still counts. It does not matter. It does not. If you bank your vote and you die before the election, that vote still counted. I think the problem is that Eric Hovde spoke from a place of no knowledge, and he spoke stupidly,
and
now he's pointing fingers and just instead of just saying I misspoke, I'm sorry, moving on, and then it's not a story. But not only does he say it, we talk about it because it's important. Then he keeps going into it.
They can't admit anything.
They can never admit when they're wrong.
Or just say, like you said, I made a mistake. I made an error. I don't know why that's such a bad thing. In fact, we're going to do that coming up at 10:50. I screwed something up yesterday and I want to clarify.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be hard.
And we'll talk about another politician who made a mistake who totally took the wrong road on how to try to fix it.
Yeah, no kidding. Back to California lake sitting axe throwing guy claiming that Wisconsin had a 100% voting rate. This has already been debunked. Voter turnout among nursing home residents in 2020 was completely in line with typical numbers, and the Racine County DA never filed any charges in this investigation.
Found nothing.
Like the $2 million we all paid Michael Gableman to travel around the country and go to My Pillow Guy events to turn up all this voter fraud that never turned up.
And that money that came from the nonprofit organization from Mark Zuckerberg, who started Facebook. I'm not saying that word because I know. That money went to cities, villages, towns all over the country to help facilitate voting, because the election process in many of the municipalities are woefully underfunded. They weren't trying to get out Democratic votes. They weren't trying to suppress anybody's vote. They were trying to just help facilitate it. But don't worry, folks. If you voted yes on those constitutional amendments, congratulations. You just made the process a lot harder. Get ready for lines. Get ready for short staff. Get ready for less money, because that's what you voted for, and that's not a lie. We've had two, maybe three people in this on this show to break this down, and now it's going to be a lot harder. You're going to be complaining a lot more because you thought it would be a good idea to put this on the Constitution instead of it not becoming a bill, as Deborah Cronmeller from the League of Wisconsin,
Voters
for Wisconsin said,
yep.
It didn't pass through the legislature, so they decided to make it a constitutional amendment.
And there are still ramifications from those two referendums and now part of the state constitution.
Yeah.
There are ramifications from this decision that we don't know yet.
Correct.
As far as who qualifies as an election worker. Mm-hmm. There's going to be all kinds of things, much like the overturning of Dobbs and getting rid of Roe.
Yeah.
We don't know all of the potential problems that are going to come up from this yet.
But we'll start saying it right now, so we keep it in your ear. We keep you used to it. Folks who need and want and got to get out there and vote in the primary and in November, prepare yourself for longer lines. Prepare yourself for inconveniences, because these two amendments have kept it short. We'll keep it short-staffed and underfunded. They will not take your vote away. They cannot take away your right to vote. Not now, at least. We'll see down
not
the
yet.
Road. Sorry, that was just getting a little downer.
Especially if you're female.
Well, you just started worrying about things anyway, so come
right.
on now.
Right.
But just prepare yourself for the voting process in the coming elections in fall, because it could be longer lines and more wait times and more frustration, but do not let that get in your way. You still get that vote out.
Don't get discouraged to the point where you don't vote.
Or get that absentee ballot in.
Do that too.
Well, you still can.
Myvote.wi.gov. Again, we harp on this website all the time, but it's very, very useful. Mm-hmm. And just type in your address and it gives you everything you need. And that's where you can get your absentee ballots and sign up for that. So myvote.wi.gov. As we were talking about Eric Hovde, in case you missed it yesterday, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin did stop by the show, and before she joined us, we debuted a new, completely real and absolutely vicious tech ad.
A lot of people show up at your house in the middle of the night to drop stuff
it's
off.
So
it's
so odd.
And it's not even Amazon.
I know. It's really weird. So in case you didn't catch it yesterday, here's a little rerun of the a new vicious attack ad on civic media.
Wisconsin's two U.S. senators couldn't be more different. Democrat Tammy Baldwin keeps getting things done for her constituents. She helped secure funding for infrastructure projects like the Blatnik Bridge and made sure Wisconsin seniors can afford life-saving insulin. But Republican Senator Ron Johnson knows exactly what needs to happen to make your life better.
I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation.
This November, elect the wealthy California guy who sits in frozen lakes. Just like Senator Johnson, he'll work hard when he gets to Washington, just not for you.
Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC. Also, Senator Baldwin has no idea who we are and does not endorse this message.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Gets you right there in the hot.
That doesn't it, though?
Ooh.
That, ooh, that's, ooh.
Ah, yeah.
We Got Nothing Else Super PAC.
I got the shivers.
We have a number of texts that I want to get to talking about nursing homes, et cetera. So we will do that very, very shortly. Stay close. You can always join us, too, at 855-75-CIVIC. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Wherever you're listening across Civic Media, you can always call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin. Dan Schaefer would normally be joining us right after the 10:30 news. We have readjusted things a little bit. He will be here next hour at 11:33 so we can recombobulate, and we'll be talking about the latest poll numbers from the Marquette University Law School poll. That's coming up at 11:33 right now, though. We were talking about Eric Hovde. He's upset. He feels that his statements about people voting in nursing homes was taken out of context. And we never said that he said old people shouldn't vote. And that's what he's said. And maybe others are. That is not what he said. He didn't say old people shouldn't vote. But he made this assumption that people are only in nursing homes for 3 to 4 months and then they die. And kind of raising questions about, are they capable, mentally competent to vote? A couple of texters listening on WFHR, thank you, said, I hope Eric Hovde's quotes will be used in political commercials and played often. That's kind of why we do repeat things sometimes, just to make sure people understand what's happening. And Robert from Richland Center, this is really good, listening on WRCE. Nursing homes will be cited by surveyors if they don't offer the opportunity to vote to every resident that is eligible. Everyone is eligible unless they have a guardianship, and that includes the statements that they do not have the mental capacity to vote. From a 30-year medical director at a nursing home.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Robert.
Thank
really
you, Robert.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's the thing, too, is when we go. I'm going to go back to what we've been talking about the past couple weeks is – when these lawmakers and people seeking elected office make these statements, they make these industries and employees targets. People now show up to these places, libraries, hospitals, nursing homes, saying, you're stealing the vote. You're stealing the election. You might say, oh, it's not like it's a whole bunch of people. To me, one is too many. So when you say something, and I will repeat what I said earlier, that's so stupid, that doesn't mean people aren't listening and going to take matters into their own hands, quote unquote.
Yes.
So thank you, Robert, as a person in the industry for clarifying that information. I hope anyone who had any doubts, you can clearly get the truth.
From someone who's been in the business.
Exactly.
That's always kind of a good idea. Yes. As we do like to do on this program, when we point out naughty things on one side of the political aisle, I think it's important we point out naughties on the other side of the political aisle, because there's naughtiness enough to go around sometimes, Greg Bach. And we haven't talked about Gold Bar Bob Menendez in a while.
Who?
Senator Bob Menendez, you may remember, got in some trouble after a raid at his home where they found lots and lots of gold bars and cash stuffed into jackets and all over the place. And it, as one does.
When you're a pirate.
That's my best
no,
pirate.
No, he's a Democrat. D.
Dar.
See what he did there?
Dar. Dar. In a mid-March legal filing now, Bob Menendez's legal team may point the finger at his wife, according to newly unsealed documents.
Oh, bro.
Throwing the spouse under the bus.
Bro.
Gold Bar Bob may blame his wife for the actions that led to this federal bribery case against him. His legal team will intend to show the absence of any improper intent on Bob's part by showing the ways in which his wife withheld information from him or otherwise led him to believe that nothing, this was all on the up and up and this is all fine.
So, Bobby Boy, when you went to go put that jacket on and it was a little heavier than usual, you didn't say to your wife, hey, where did all this gold come from? You just...
Honey, I found it in the garage.
I just thought I gained some weight. It was the holidays. This is... Fire your lawyer, sir, and step down. You are about to become the most maligned husband next to the former president in this country because the point the finger at the spouse defense, I don't think is going to work in the courtroom or in the kitchen.
His wife has been granted a separate trial, asking for a delay, citing a serious medical condition.
Wanting to beat up her husband.
Well,
that's the condition.
Gold Bar Bob's trial expected to start May 6th in Manhattan. He's facing corruption charges, alleging he accepted gold bars, wads of cash, and some pretty nice gifts to act as an unregistered foreign agent on behalf of the Egyptian government. Now, if he points the finger at her, can't she do the same and just throw him under the bus?
Absolutely. She can cut a deal, too. I mean, like, it's unless she has said, unless there's some sort of deal saying, if I do it as the wife, as the spouse, will I see less time? No time? You know, what can we do to save all? Because let's face it. Nowadays, there is no grand punishment. I don't see these people going to prison. They're going to worm their way out of any sort
of...
Well,
they'll plea it down as much as seemingly possible. He may have to pay some, I don't know, pay some money back?
Some gold?
Here.
We take half of your bars in gold.
97 gold bars. Yeah. We should be good now.
So maybe there is, but, you know, we talk about accountability, we talk about these politicians, and I'm going to, you know, GOP leaders, where we talk about them acting to a higher standard and stepping down, and people saying, well, why do they have to step down for naughty behavior? This is a situation. This is the Democrat. He's from New Jersey. I don't care. He should step down. This is getting to this point here are acts unbecoming an elected official. Now, some will say because he hasn't been convicted, he shouldn't have to. But I think at this point, there's enough scandal around it. Move on.
Well, and I will point out that there have been Democrats who have said that he should step down.
Oh, I remember within the first, like, I think the story broke on like a Thursday or Friday. By Monday, Cory Booker, his partner in New Jersey in the Senate, he said, get out.
As opposed to George Santos. And even after all of that stuff came out about George Santos, no one in his party called for him to go.
No, it was
they needed his vote.
Yep. And then they voted him out. And now they're regretting it because as of tomorrow, Mike Gallagher is no longer a congressman.
Yeah.
So that lead becomes one vote in the Congress.
Well, actually, Gallagher is staying through tomorrow so he can vote on these aid bills.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about that on the other side of the news.
Yeah.
Congress might do a thing. It's reason to celebrate, people. It's a reason to celebrate. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers will be able to participate in a lawsuit seeking to reverse the Wisconsin Supreme Court's two-year-old ban on absentee ballot drop boxes. The case could make a big difference in Wisconsin's elections this year. The court's four liberal justices granted Evers' motion to intervene Thursday. Fewer Wisconsin voters say undocumented immigrants working in the United States should be able to stay and apply for citizenship, 49% today compared to 67% 4 years ago.
The political rhetoric has changed this year with Donald Trump's simple statement that he would like to deport all immigrants in the U.S. illegally. And he's talked extensively about that.
Marquette University Law School poll director Charles Franklin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Union members rallied outside the construction site of Aris Apartments in Duluth on Thursday, protesting what they say are unfair wages and benefits for the workers on the housing project. According to a Northern News Now report, the owners of the Duluth Heights neighborhood project hired a subcontractor called Ultimate Drywall to work on the project, which union members allege is underpaying its employees compared to Duluth union standards. Work on the project continued amid the union protest outside the site. Organizers of Duluth's Memorial Day parade say they're running short on groups to participate. According to a Northern News Now report, the annual parade typically features things like marching bands, floats, military groups, and even antique cars and motorcycles. But as of this week, only a few groups have actually registered. The parade will travel through West Duluth on Memorial Day, and more information about the event and a way to sign up a group can be found on the Duluth Women of Today website. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Quentin Tarantino is bound and determined to make his 10th film his last. The jury is still out on which film that will be as he pulled away from a project he had in the works called The Movie Critic. The Hollywood Reporter also says he was working on an R-rated Star Trek film that has also fallen by the wayside. Tarantino maintains that directors do not get better as they get older, and he wants his filmography to remain unblemished. Actress Sydney Sweeney received an apology from producer Carol Baum. Baum, whose credits include Father of the Bride, badmouthed Sweeney while giving a talk in New York, relating to the audience what she told her students at USC, saying, "Explain this girl to me. She's not pretty and she can't act." The New York Post says that due to the backlash from Sweeney's representatives, Baum apologized, sort of, saying, "Crapping on an actor like that in public usually isn't my style." You sure? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A few flurries or light snow showers today. Otherwise, highs around 40 degrees and west winds gusting 20 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, breezy, a low in the mid-20s, partly sunny and highs near 45 on your Saturday. For Sunday, sunshine and highs back to the upper 50s.
Currently 33 degrees.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I'm really excited right now because I've wanted to have this guy on for a while. He is a legendary stand-up comedian. You know him as Tom Dreesen. Tom, welcome to Nightline.
Pete, it's nice to talk to you. Let me tell you how I became a legend. All my critics are dead.
Did you have anything to do with that? Don't say anything, Tom.
No, I refuse to answer on the grounds it might incriminate me. I'll plead the fifth on that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates radio show. We've got Peter Barca. He's running for Congress against Brian Stahel and air the grievances. You can be a part Friday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
A voice inside me say, do something.
Good morning and Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Cal B on the board. You can always join us wherever you're listening. If you're listening on the app, you can call or text directly from that. Or go to 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tony, who is watching on the live stream, says, I like the facial expressions. That's really nice of you, Tony. I can't control my face. I would never even be able to be on a jury, I don't think.
Terrible poker player, terrible jury. Like, it would just be, I'd like to direct juror number four to stop smacking her forehead with her hand every time someone seems to disappoint you.
I wouldn't be able to stop myself or control myself. So I guess I'm off the hook as far as that goes. If you're normally tuning in at this time for Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, we switch things around a little bit. He will be joining us next hour at this time at 11:33. So we will recombobulate with Dan next hour at this time and talk about the latest results from the Marquette University Law School poll. Wanted to start off, though. It happened. It happened. Congress did a thing.
What? Jane?
Yes.
Why are there like 30 people in here right now?
Because everyone is so excited that Congress actually accomplished something.
They congressed?
They did a thing. Congress did a thing. The House voted today in a bipartisan manner to move forward key foreign aid packages. And this is a significant move in getting aid to Ukraine and to Israel and setting up a final vote as soon as tomorrow. 165 Democrats supported the measure. 151 Republicans supported the measure. The Democratic votes were necessary from CNN to overcome opposition from the Cuckoo Caucus, who will likely now only increase their calls to oust him. Last night, the GOP-led House Rules Committee also used Democratic support to get the bills to move forward. But this is, I mean, they've been sitting on this for months.
Yes.
Months and months and months. And if any coverage ever shows up in whatever news you're watching or whatever pages you follow or whatever streaming platform that you're on, like Twitter, the images are just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Just terrible. And also in Israel and Palestine. So this is critically important that we get going on this. The three House bills add up to about $95 billion, the same amount that the Senate included, with an adjustment that $10 billion in Ukraine economic help will be in the form of a repayable loan. Mike Johnson, appearing on Newsmax, said the package should be by early Saturday. He did not elaborate, but again, at least after months and months and months of delays, they're finally going to start moving things forward.
I got to watch that interview on Newsmax because I can't imagine that they didn't let Mike Johnson go without saying, well, why did you have to keep the Ukraine money in there? Why can't you just give more to Israel? Or,
well, you know these, are, I mean? These are going to be voted. They're all going to be voted on separately.
Yeah.
This is not
the fact that he even put it in, you know what I mean? Like the whole thing of Ukraine isn't, we have problems at home.
Well, and Marjorie Taylor Greene's whole thing is Ukraine is full of Nazis. What?
Yes, and Russia is protecting Christians.
Yeah, right. A Democratic Representative Mark Pocan telling the Journal Sentinel, I like this personally. I've said all along I support Ukraine funding. I had concerns on Israel funding, and now I can express it through a vote. Representative Republican Scott Fitzgerald telling the Journal Sentinel, the proposal gives members, including himself, some flexibility. He will absolutely vote for support for Israel, unsure of his support for Ukraine, raising concerns about oversight of the money to Ukraine. Brian Stile, I think having people on the record on the votes is always a good thing. It's going to be the will of the people. I think it's a good opportunity. Supporters of Ukraine warning that they are running out of ammunition to defend themselves against Russia. And last weekend, of course, Iran launched that drone attack on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, it did not have horrific consequences, yeah, which it certainly could have. This is good. The House aid package will give about $60.8 billion to Ukraine. And this is important. This includes almost $14 billion to procure weapons from the U.S. So money is getting spent here.
Yes.
In this article from the Journal Sentinel, and we will put it in the show notes, after about an hour after the show is over, to date, the Department of Defense has spent almost $500 million in Wisconsin.
Say that again.
To date, the Department of Defense has spent about $500 million, $499 million in Wisconsin from previous Ukraine aid packages. That includes $60 million for tactical vehicle production in Oshkosh, $350 million to multiple suppliers for ammunition and other associated components. So when you hear some of these, the Cuckoo Caucus complaining about all this money we're sending overseas for no reason and it's not helping Americans, it's helping. And it's helping the economy, unfortunately, because war is good business.
Yeah, it. I heard someone making the argument that helping out other countries, if you believe America first, if you are a believer in that idea, that helping other countries is a great way to put America first because it builds partnerships, it builds bridges, it literally can build bridges sometimes.
Yes.
And reaching out and giving aid to those countries in need, especially those who are fighting for their fundamental freedom, as we like to talk about, we did like, you know, 250 years ago. It makes us look better in the political sense, too. Not just feeling good that we did it, not just the economic aspects. Because as Steve Anderson said in his interview last week, being a part of NATO is an economic gain for us as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
So we don't like to say war is good for the economy, but unfortunately it is. And when they're spending that money to create, they're spending it here in Wisconsin. And that's $499 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Unfortunately, Republicans Glenn Grothman and Tom Tiffany took issue with the absence of U.S.-Mexico border legislation from this bill. Tiffany telling the Journal Sentinel he wants to see Ukraine aid paired with border legislation. He says he will likely support funding for Israel and Taiwan, unlikely to support additional aid to Ukraine. That's Wisconsin Republican Tom Tiffany.
Good job, buddy.
Mike Gallagher, who had planned to leave Congress for good today, it was supposed to be today,
says
now he will extend his tenure through Saturday so he can vote in favor. Freshman Republican Derek Van Orden, and we'll have a little bit more about him. We'll have a little bit more about him.
That was my impression of Derek Van Orden.
Right before the end of the show. Says of the separate bills, this is how we should be running this house. The one thing I find interesting, especially when I hear complaints about what's happening at the southern border, and we've talked about this maybe not as much as we should, Greg Bach. Mm-hmm. The reason we don't have a deal on the border is because of Republicans. And I would like Calvin to play a clip. This is Republican Senator Jim Lankford.
Yes.
From Oklahoma.
Oh,
who's very, very conservative.
Yes.
And he was the one who was tasked with writing up a border bill that got rejected. And then his own party censured him. Here he is appearing on Fox News. This is Jim Lankford from Oklahoma talking about why we don't have a solution for what's happening at the border.
I know you're not trying to zing your colleagues, but it's your colleagues in your party, sir, who torpedoed this, who didn't get the facts right on what you just outlined was in that measure. They killed it. Ironically, not Democrats.
Right. It was, and it was painful to be able to watch. It got stirred up in all the presidential politics, and several of my colleagues started looking for ways. After President Trump said, don't fix anything during the presidential election. It's the single biggest issue during the election. Don't resolve this. We'll resolve it next year. Quite a few of my colleagues backed up, looked for a reason to be able to shoot against it, and then walked away. I get that. That's a decision everybody makes in it. My issue is if we're pursuing everything, we very often end up with nothing. If we're pursuing someone coming later to fix it, later seems to never come. When we have a moment to fix things, we should fix as many things as we can then come back later and fix the rest.
That's on Donald Trump, Senator.
That, again, he's got an office that he's running for. He's got a campaign that he's running. I'm already in office. I've got a responsibility to be able to carry on this.
I give him a lot of credit for that because he's already in trouble with the Republican Party.
Oh, and especially in his own state. They censured him.
Yeah, which is remarkable to me.
You know, between that and the audio we listened to yesterday with Mike Johnson talking about the importance of helping and, you know, being judged for your actions down the road, it's a big deal because in a GOP, as we said earlier, that can never apologize for being wrong. To stand up and say, when he said, this is the party, this is your party who did this, he just goes, yeah, he didn't make excuses in the way of like saying, well, no, Joe Biden walked into my office.
You're absolutely right.
You know, he said, no, this is my, this, he gave context to why they did it. It's not good context, but it's context. He said, yes, this was my party who did this. We have a problem we need to fix. His version of fixing, I'm sure, is different than my version of fixing. But the fact that he stood up and said, yeah, this was, we biffed this one. This is our fault. The fact that he's still in office right now is surprising.
I'm not sure when his term is up.
I mean,
because he might be on his last legs if he keeps doing things like this.
You mean telling the truth and
being accountable? I don't know that that's very popular. As far as Ukraine aid goes, what a shocker. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson maintaining his opposition to additional Ukraine funding and reiterated calls to address the southern border. Yeah, well, talk to Jim Lankford.
Yep.
He's a senator, too. I'm sure you guys run into each other once in a while. Maybe he can explain to you why there's no border deal because of the former president of the United States.
Whoa, Ron. I thought you wanted to get nothing done. I thought nothing was supposed to get done under your tenure. That's the way you do it. Because doing anything is, quote unquote, democratic light. I don't know what that means, but you said it, so it's words. But why are you even bothering right now? Shouldn't you be kicking your feet up on a desk somewhere?
Doing nothing.
And doing nothing just as the people prescribed and demanded you do. By the way, Jim Lankford was reelected in 2021. So he's got a few years left to be the thorn in the side of the GOP.
Seriously. And yes, Senator Tammy Baldwin expressing support for the aid packages to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, saying the bills help keep our country safe, support our allies like Ukraine and Israel to defend themselves, and get desperately needed aid into Gaza and around the globe. Still, the threat of a motion to vacate Mike Johnson from the speakership led by Marjorie Taylor Greene and Kentucky Representative Tom Massey, that has been widely rejected by Wisconsin Republicans.
You don't need this fight right now.
No, you really don't. I am really disappointed, though, about the lack of understanding, apparently from some, about why it is so important to help Ukraine and what that's going to mean to the rest of Europe and ultimately to the United States and for the rest of the globe. I don't understand.
I keep going back to the idea of any country that's fighting to be free and trying to fight oppression. There's no question. There's no question. None. Next. Let's talk about Gold Bar Bob again. You know, this is a dumb thing to talk about. So yeah, it's shameful. And as Mike Johnson said, you'll be judged.
Coming up, I'm looking forward to this. Playground politics clarification. I made a mistake yesterday. I am prepared to own it. It's Squishy versus Tubby, Greg Bach. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is Civic Media.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Someday I'll be living in a big old city, and all you're ever gonna be is me.
It's Taylor's World, and we're just living in it. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Tail B on the board. You can join us, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Reminder, baseball tonight's Brewers at the Cardinals, 6:40. You can catch the game listening on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, or Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. The Brewers and the Cardinals tonight at 6:40.
Civic Media.
Yesterday, I think this was this towards the end of the show, Greg Bach? I can't remember when this came across my my feed.
Yeah, in the second hour we talked about it.
I mistakenly said that Wisconsin Representative Derek Van Orden confronted Mike Johnson on the House floor yesterday and called him Tubby.
Yes.
That is not accurate. So I'm
Way
here.
Way to go, Jane.
I know. So I'm here to make clarifications because I do think it's important that we get that we deliver accurate information. So it actually happened between Derek Van Orden and Matt Gaetz. Again, in the Cuckoo Caucus, Gaetz, Lauren Bobo Boebert, and Tennessee Representative Tim Burchett, they were very unhappy with Speaker of the House Mike Johnson bringing these aid packages to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan to a vote for this weekend. So they're trying to bully him, essentially. Van Orden approached the group on the floor Thursday and dared them to file the motion to oust the speaker, telling the Journal Sentinel he was trying to call their bluff. They've been trying to blackmail the Republican conference now for a long time. Just do it. Show the American people who you really are. The American people can't really see what takes place all the time. What they can see is a motion to vacate, trying to get rid of the speaker. Van Orden says this will show their true colors because they're not here to legislate. These are not serious legislators. Derek Van Orden said that.
Was he? I'm surprised he didn't send that as a tweet from Israel. What? I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Oopsie. Look it up.
Playground politics, it gets better.
Yeah.
Van Orden called Gaetz Tubby during their interaction yesterday. He said he did that because after Gaetz called him a squish.
Yeah, that's the thing that I don't know if someone can you explain this to me? Matt Gaetz called him a squish.
Yes.
And Derek Van Orden thought he was making a crack about his weight, but it's a different, I guess, a different.
It's a different insult.
Yeah.
Van Orden took it to mean he was a soft person.
Yeah.
Apparently, some Cuckoo Caucus people use the word squish as a way to disparage other Republicans who are seen as less conservative.
Oh, that's. How mature. Once again, folks, $174,000 per person in Congress.
A year.
You are paying for this.
Quote, again, Derek Van Orden in the Journal Sentinel, I said people who have not been to combat and been shot at, who've not held one of their friends' hands as they died, probably shouldn't be calling other people squishes. And then he did it again, and I said something along the lines of, stow it, Tubby. And all props to Derek Van Orden. He is a retired Navy SEAL. He served.
Yeah.
I didn't.
No, I didn't.
I respect his service. But again, I would still think for going through what he went through, I would expect him to be more of an adult.
See, that's therein lies the difference for me is like, I will not be told to respect someone's service. I will respect their service if they served, but I feel like Derek Van Orten uses his service to play one-upsmanship and uses it to seem more in the line of valor than he is. Let us not forget, he was at January 6th. Did he storm the Capitol? There's no evidence to say that.
That he did.
But he was there in camouflage with tactical gear on him, with an earpiece in his ear. He was there. So, yes, he served, and that is true, but I don't like him using that point to justify a childish squabble on the floor of the United States Congress. The fact he served should have kept him from ever doing that in the first place. So,
but again, and I think it's important that we, when someone does something good, we should acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I do appreciate the fact that he wanted to see this package move forward. He wants to see something get done.
Which is weird.
I know. It really is.
It is very unlike him. Very out of the ordinary. Get it?
Absolutely.
The Van Ordinary.
Absolutely. Van Orden has been consistently critical of some members of the Cuckoo Caucus after they successfully ousted former Speaker Kevin McCarthy last October. So, again, Derek Van Orden was not in Speaker Mike Johnson's face yesterday. It was Squishy versus Tubby. And I don't know. I think that could be a pay-per-view thing.
I would not pay per that view. No, thank you. I really? I don't watch people in peak athletic fitness fight each other. You think I'm going to watch these two dunderheads go at it in a squared circle? They're going to tap out in the Derek Van Orden is going to come in thinking like, yeah, I got you. And he'll tap out in 30 seconds. They'll both start pulling at each other's ears and be like, ow!
And like slap fighting.
No.
Now we're delving into mean. I'm sorry.
I'll delve into mean. They're both mean. I don't have a problem being mean to mean people. He yelled at teenagers for taking pictures. Like,
It is important that folks remember that. I mean, he went off on a teenage librarian, for pity's sake, over a display of LGBTQ books. And then the Senate pages were doing apparently what Senate pages do, taking pictures of the ceiling before the end of their pagism. And was screaming at him and was apparently had been drinking and using swear words and all that stuff. So, but again, I do think it's important we point out when someone does something that's right.
Calvin popped into the chat and said, conservative think tanker Amy Ridenour recalls the word being in vogue by the time Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980. Digging into the term in 2006, she said that in the 80s, a good working definition of squish would be someone who could not be counted on to back a conservative initiative for philosophical reasons. Thank you, Calvin.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Andrew from Maine, also, it feels like some Republicans are starting to get tired of the MAGA Cuckoo Caucus and getting their spines back. I didn't know you could regrow a spine. I think that's very important, and it's good.
Some of them never grew one to begin with, but hey.
We have news on the way next, and then when we return, very excited to talk elk. We're talking elk with David Drake.
What the elk is going on here?
That's all coming up. God, stay close. You're listening to Matt Mayer on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Paul 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together.
Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.